What a weekend we just witnessed in Athens, Georgia at the 2024 Women's NCAA Division I Swimming and Diving Championships. There were a lot of fast swims, obviously, from top to bottom. It was one of the fastest, if not the fastest, Women's NCAA Championships in history, and it was spearheaded by Gretchen Walsh. Her and her sister Alex both won three NCAA individual titles, which is an amazing accomplishment in and of itself. But Gretchen Walsh separated herself from the pack literally and metaphorically, and we are going to break that down right now. Gretchen Walsh not only won all three of her events, but she dominated them and set barriers in all of them that no one really thought was possible before she did them in each of her individual swims. Now, we have seen a few NCAA performances like this over the last few decades, and I dug a few of them up to compare them to Gretchen's meet to see if this was the best NCAA performance we have ever seen from any swimmer, male or female. So strap in, because this is a very deep dive, and I'm going to nerd the heck out comparing Gretchen's performances at this meet to some of the other best performances we have seen at the NCAA championships in the last 24 years. The criteria for making it onto Coleman's list of top NCAA performances in the last 24 years, well, you had to sweep your individual events. You had to set NCAA records in all three of the events. I think a third unofficial rule is that you had to really change people's perspective on swimming. You had to really push the sport forward with those NCAA records that you broke. You had to be way ahead of the curve in all three of your events that you set NCAA records in and won. And that led me to three other NCAA performances. Natalie Coughlin in 2002, Caleb Dressel in 2018, and Leon Marchand in 2023. Kate Douglas in 2023 does meet this criteria, at least the first two. Won all three events, set NCAA records in all three events. But the 100 fly, Maggie McNeil was less than a tenth away from her in that race. And so while Kate Douglas did blow our minds and change what we thought was possible, in two out of the three of her individual events, at those 2023 NCAA championships, I am not including her on this list because I think it does move her a level down from these other performances because she was not completely dominant in all three of her events. And therefore, I cannot in good faith call it the best NCAA performance we've ever seen. It was certainly number five on this list, but not number one. So let's get into this. Just to recap, you're going to see all of my numbers in shorthand as I put them up on this side of the screen. When it says next fastest, that means the next fastest performer of all time in that event. When it says next competitor, that means the next fastest competitor in the final or in the heat where they set that record. Just to recap, in case you missed it, which I'm sure a lot of you did, and that's why you're here right now, these are the numbers that Gretchen Walsh put up in Athens, Georgia at the 2024 NCAA Championships just this past weekend. Individually, she was 20.37 in the 50-yard freestyle. The next fastest performer, which is Maggie McNeil, is 20.7, 0.4 away from Gretchen. In the 100 fly, she was 47.4. Next fastest performer, Kate Douglas, 48.4, 1 second behind Gretchen. And in the 100 freestyle, she was 44.8, the first woman ever to go under 45. Next fastest performer was 45.6, that's Simone Manuel. She is 0.8 ahead of Simone. She also went 22.1 in the 50 backstroke leading off the 200 medley relay, the fastest split ever by far. She split 20.2 in the 200 free relay. She split 48.2 leading off the 400 medley relay and the 100 back. She already has the NC2A record. She was 0.16 off of that record. So it's the fastest that anyone has ever gone who's not named Gretchen Walsh. And then she split 45.1 in the 400 free relay. That's the fastest anyone has ever gone from a relay swing. So looking at Gretchen's numbers, she's the fastest woman in the 50 freestyle by far. First and only to ever go below 20.7. She has been 20.5, 20.4, and set the mark ultimately at 20.3. 100 fly, first woman to ever go under 48 seconds. But not only that, she crushed that mark, 47.4. There was only one other woman in the heat that went under 50 seconds. She was completely dominant. And in the 100 freestyle, first woman to ever go under 45 seconds. That's a really big barrier to break. And she said in a post-race interview, she thinks she could go even faster if it was on the first day, but alas, we won't know for a while. This was a huge meet for Gretchen Walsh, historic in so many ways. As we go through the numbers of other top performances, I think what really stands out for me from Gretchen is that she was on four winning relays, splitting the fastest split of the field on all four of her splits by far, and being a huge contributor to all four of those winning relays. And then she ultimately won the team title as well. So let's start the comparisons. Just last year, Leon Marchand helped ASU to their first ever second place finish at the NC2A championships. Of his seven swims, six of them were the fastest ever. He split 128.4 in the 800 free relay, where they placed second. He split 49.2 in the 100 breast on the 400 medley relay, where they placed third. He split 22.2 on the 200 medley relay breaststroke, where they were second. And then he split 40.5 on the 400 free relay, where they were third. That is the only finals race that Leon swam that wasn't the fastest split or time of all time. And 40.5 is still very elite. It's up there. I don't really know where it falls in terms of all-time performances, but it's fast. He then swam 136.3 in the 200 IM, 328.8 in the 400 IM, and 146.9 in the 200 breast. These are essentially video game times. And you can make a really strong argument that this was the best NC2A performance of all time, I think, just because of how far ahead he was of his competitors. As you can see, he was 1.8 ahead of the next competitor in the 200 IM. He was 4 seconds ahead of the next fastest performer of all time in the 400 IM. And he's 1 second faster than Will Lacone, the next fastest performer in the 200 breast. First dude to ever go 146 in the 200 breast, first dude to ever go 136 or 137 in the 200 IM. And obviously he's 4 seconds ahead of the next fastest competitor in the 400 IM, but most prominently, first dude to ever break 330, a very big barrier in the 400 IM. So again, the X factor for me, for Leon's performances, even though he swam the fastest times of all times, he still did not lead ASU to a relay title or a team title. And I know that's more of a team factor than it is a knock against the individual. But when you get athletes having these meets that are just so, so good and so, so far out there, you have to bring in X factors. You have to bring in other factors to give them the edge. I also think Leon being in the middle distance category, it's obviously easier for him to set himself apart further because the races are longer. But comparing Leon's performance to Gretchen's performance, she is so dominant in events that more people are swimming and that are shorter. She was also the fastest of all time and or already had the fastest time of all time in all of her races, while Leon had 6 of the 7. So in that comparison, I'm giving it to Gretchen. Moving on, Caleb Dressel, 2018. If you're a swim fan, you are also familiar with this meet, most notably because this is when Caleb went 17.63, the fastest 50 freestyle of all time to this day. He also went 42.8 in the 100 fly, 39.9 in the 100 freestyle, where he sets himself apart from the next fastest performers by 0.8, 0.9, and 1.1. In the 200 free relay, he led off in 17.8, which at the time was the fastest of all time because he hadn't swum his 17.6 yet. In the 400 medley relay, he split 50.6 on the breaststroke leg. That was the second fastest of the field in that heat. In the 200 medley relay, he split 17.3 on the freestyle, which was obviously the fastest ever. And then in the 400 free relay, he was 40.2 from a relay swing. That was the fastest split ever. We have to consider that at this meet, they were swimming prelims and finals of all four of those relays that Caleb was on, which is just insane to me now. And he did lead one of those Florida relays to a relay title, which I think gives him a lot of credit. Now, Florida was just off the podium that year as a team in fifth. So I feel like that is a little knock against him comparatively to Gretchen's performance, where UVA won their fourth team title in a row. I also think, just looking top to bottom, if Caleb would have done fly or free on the 400 medley relay, he probably would have been the fastest of all time. And I know that breaststroke is his third best stroke, but he was only the second fastest in the field in that split in his seventh swim. Gretchen swam three strokes at this meet, and she was dominant in all three of them. And sure, you can say a lot of that has to do with underwaters, but you got to give it to the girl. She's versatile as heck. And she now has the American record in three different strokes, which Caleb had at the time as well. But if you're just looking at the meet itself, I think the seventh swim, I got to give it to Gretchen. She led off in backstroke. She won the 100 fly. She's the fastest in all of it. While Dressel, again, dominant performance, 0.8, 0.9, and 1.1 on his splits. But I think from an overall performance, I think Gretchen still sets herself apart by having four relay wins and being the fastest in the field in all of them. So now we're going to dive into a meet that maybe some swim fans aren't so familiar with, which is Natalie Coughlin from 2002. In this meet, Natalie won the 100 fly, the 100 back, and the 200 back. She won the 100 fly by a second, and she was 50.01. She almost became the first woman to ever go under 50 seconds in the 100-yard fly. In the 100 back, she was 49.9. She did become the first woman to ever go under 50 seconds in that one. The next closest competitor was 53.2. That is how dominant Natalie Coughlin was at this meet. 3.3 seconds ahead of her next fastest competitor in a 100. And then in the 200 back, she was 149.5. Again, NC2A record. Next fastest competitor was 154.1, 4.6 seconds back. Good God. In the 200 free relay, she split 21.5. That was the second fastest of the field. Maritza Correa split 21.2. At the time, the NC2A record was 21.6. So pretty great split. 400 medley relay, she led off in 50.5, the fastest of anyone had ever gone beside herself. 200 medley relay, she led off in 23.4. She was 2 seconds ahead of the field. So everyone else was splitting 25s, while Natalie was splitting 23.4 in a 50 backstroke. And then in the 400 free relay, she led off in 47.47, which broke the newly set NC2A record by Maritza Correa. So this was a dominant performance again. Three strokes. Natalie is just doing it all in this. But once again, Cal did not win a relay. In her seventh best, quote unquote, swim, she was the second fastest split of the field. And Cal finishes sixth overall. But I think this one really sets itself apart, because in backstroke, oh my God, Natalie was just so far ahead of the pack. So she's got the three-stroke triple threat. She was killing everyone in the 100 fly. She set the NC2A record in the 100 free, because why not? She had the NC2A record in the 200 free, which isn't relevant to this meet just on its own. But so she's dominant in freestyle. She can do it all. But then in backstroke, good God. 3.3 seconds in 100? Like, once again, if you look at Dressel, if you look at Leon, like, they are far ahead, but they aren't 3.3 seconds in 100 far ahead. Like, that's beating everyone by 0.8 seconds per 25. It is hard for me to say definitively Gretchen Walsh's performance at this 2024 NC2A Champs is better than Natalie's performance at the 2002 meat, I can say it. I feel like I can make the argument, because once again, if you take in the X factors, Gretchen is hands down the best swimmer in every single one of her events, and she helps her relays win every single time. And UVA gets first overall as a team. But good God, Natalie was just so much better than everyone else. Overall, I am going to make the case that Gretchen swam the best NC2A performance we've ever seen. She broke three records. She pushed sprint boundaries past the point that we really thought were possible up to this point. And I think people are going to be chasing these records for years and years to come. And she helped her team win four relay titles and a team title. And I think in the scope of things, I think relay championships matter. I think team championships matter. If we're just saying who had the best NC2A performance of all time, I think those things count. And I think Gretchen just did it. I think we just saw the best NC2A performance anyone has ever put up in the last 24 years. I'm not going back to the 90s or beyond, but in the 2000s, I think Gretchen just showed us number one. I know that was long-winded, but I wanted to take the time to really dive into the past and get into the nitty-gritty of some of the best numbers we've ever seen in college swimming, period. I hope if you watched this far, you like nerding out about it as much as I do. So thanks for coming on this journey with me. If you like this video, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss out on all of our video content. Thank you again for watching to the end, to where I'm talking right now. I really appreciate it, and I'll see you next time.